Hello and welcome to Lot Awful Movies 38. I'm Thomas. That's Andrew. How are you doing, Andrew?
I am fantastic, Thomas. This is day one of coronavirus lockdown.
And yeah.
I am already going stir crazy. So,
well, maybe it wasn't a good idea to start you with this acid trip that was what we're going to talk about today, which was the Roger Stone deposition. Now, there's only so much crazy you can take. So we have a clip. I assume we'll put the link of what we watched. It's only 42 minutes. I think any more, and I know that, you know, I would have turned to like a green alien and just bubbled. This is hard to watch.
Yeah, let me say two things, right? I would recommend everybody watch this 42, 43 minute clip, spoiler, there's a minute at the end that just is, we'll get to it. It's surreal. It's amazing. I actually did watch a little bit of the prior depo,
yeah,
just to understand.
Just to get your bearings.
Yeah, right. To go
just to
all
fill
the way
in some
through
of the legal
the looking
gaps,
glass. Yeah.
in the claims.
But I need to explain this for our listeners, because this is going to be really, really important. This is the continuation. This is an extra hour of the deposition of Roger Stone by Larry Klayman that continued from the day before, right? So the previous deposition, you get, and this is consolidated. The cases are really weird. I'm going to talk about the procedural history a little
bit. Yeah, I have all these questions for you.
Yeah. but generally speaking, you get a day, right? You get 8 hours. And again, different states have different rules and the federal rules are different. And, you know, sometimes it's negotiated among the party. You get a day to depose a guy, right? And so Klayman deposed Stone for 5 hours the day before and then said, I still have some questions. So this is the continuation of that depo after Larry Klayman has taken 5 hours worth of swings at Roger Stone and missed, spoiler, and then stayed up all night to prepare. And this is what he this is what he comes out of the box with,
yeah,
on day two, which is
my
just
first question
glorious.
For you was going to be, I don't think that a law happened. And I don't think there's a single instance of law here. Was there?
I
watched
this.
I'm like, what is what? I can't even get into the logic of what. First off, this is nut job on nut job crime, right? Like, isn't this just too? We are. Who are you rooting for? You know, this is like Hitler's boxing Mussolini, and you're just like, sure, whatever, go at it.
It's actually better than that. It is a nut job menage a trois here, right? Like, because, and this is a thing I had to look up, because I don't know that I've ever seen this before, right? So, let me tell you what I've never seen, and then we'll kind of go back and unpack it. Larry Klayman is, and there are heavy air quotes around this, a lawyer, right?
Yeah.
There are jurisdictions in which he has not been disbarred. He is suing Roger Stone, but he also represents Jerome Corsi, who is suing Roger Stone. And so this, it just begins kind of, you know, out of the box, like, you know, you're getting this, you know, orgy of crazy, because Larry Klayman represents, notes his appearance and says, Larry Klayman, pro se, and on behalf of Dr. Jerome Corsi. And you're like, already my brain just froze at that point. Like, that makes no sense. Jerome Corsi, as a little bit of background, is a former Roger Stone associate. He was person one in the Stone indictment. Right. The person that Roger Stone is alleged to have said, get to Julian Assange, and then Stone lied about and covered up Corsi. And then the two of them had a falling out. Corsi, as you might expect for a Trump supporter, he's a birther. He's a 9/11 truther. He's an all around lunatic. So he's the kind of person who hires Larry Klayman on purpose.
So, and, that's kind of part of my questions is what the fuck is going on here? I forgot we can curse on a lot of movies, yeah. And we're going to need to.
Oh, yes.
So
yes,
I tried to track some of this down. I know I'm not the level of attorney you need to be able to untangle this web of idiot. But there are six lawsuits involved in this, right? And he's like doing deposition for all six at once or something. Apparently it's like early, right? Because Stone is going to go to prison. So he got some special permission to do this or something. I read something about that. Those are my questions. What's happening?
Those are great questions. Before I answer those, I want to point out that we have talked about another, right? Jerome Corsi is a serial patronizer of Larry Klayman, which is also just baffling to me, right? Like, unless every other lawyer has Jerome Corsi, like, blocked on their phone, which, by the way, good thing to do. He was the person, we covered this a little over a year ago, who hired Larry Klayman to sue Robert Mueller for $350 million for secret Pizzagate QAnon conspiracy. And that lawsuit was, of course, dismissed. Like everything that Larry, almost everything that Larry Klayman files.
But I've saw, okay. So on his Wikipedia though, or something, I'm pretty sure Larry Klayman has won like once because would anyone keep hiring him, and B, how would he have the money to do any of this? But I think he's won like something, right? Isn't there some defamation-y something?
Okay, I have learned way more about Larry Klayman and Judicial Watch and now Freedom Watch than I ever intended.
Yeah.
So Larry Klayman founded Judicial Watch to file harassing lawsuits beginning in the Clinton administration. He left, quote unquote, Judicial Watch in the early 2000s to run for the Senate in Florida and hired Roger Stone. Hired Roger Stone to run his campaign, which comes up in this deposition, which is amazing. Yeah. And then after, and I didn't even know, I mean, because I can't keep track of, crazy conspiracy right wing groups. There was just a rift between Klayman and Tom Fitton, who's now the president of Judicial Watch. And so Larry Klayman then founded Freedom Watch to be,
there's a big rift in that some number of people thought the Clintons were lizard people, and then another faction thought they were Illuminati. And so they're fighting lizards, Illuminati, lizards, Illuminati. And then they had to split off. That's what happened.
That could not be more correct, right? So Klayman, a year ago, Corsi hired Klayman to sue Robert Mueller for $350 million. That was dismissed. That was the start of the rift, right? Because remember, right, part of Roger Stone's conviction is in lying to the Mueller investigation. And part of what he lied about was his former associate, Jerome Corsi, right? Corsi was the go-between between Stone and Assange in connection with the hacked DNC emails. And Stone lied, sort of put it all on Randy Credico, and then threatened poor Randy Credico and his dog. And, we all know that story.
Yeah, I still don't know the story of his dog's guilt in all this. I don't know how many.
No dogs are guilty of anything.
How many years? Typical dog person. Yeah, right. I feel like the dog's the center of all this.
It's like that squirrel video, right, where the camera zooms in on the squirrel as it turns to look. Like, I just picture that with a dog that is, So that was the beginning of the rift between Corsi and Stone, and it led to Larry Klayman suing Roger Stone in D.C. Put a pin in that one, by the way, for defamation, intentional infliction of emotional distress, and assault. And also, we can get to that one, too. In addition to Corsi suing Stone, Clayman personally sued Stone. This is just almost impossible to parse out. But Corsi's allegations are that Roger Stone went on InfoWars and said bad things about Corsi to Alex Jones. Why that would be defamation?
The fine audience of Alex Jones,
right?
The esteemed Alex Jones. That now they have a negative opinion of Corsi, yeah, and that's just Corsi. I saw that, so I went on Larry Clayman's website, and it's what you think it would be. He's got like a sunglasses.
I hope you used an incognito browser.
No, I accidentally didn't, and then I had to throw away my laptop. I just dumped it in the trash. He's got his main image on his website, his header, is a sunglasses shot like the guy from CSI Miami. I'm not even joking. Like it's
David Caruso.
Yeah. He's got like a David Caruso shot. And I saw
looks
it.
Just got Claymond.
Yeah. So I love the idea that Jerome Corsi is suing anyone for defamation. Jerome Corsi, if you go Google him, his own image defames him. Like he needs to sue every photographer or just photography as a concept. Because look at that guy's Wikipedia photo. I couldn't even, if I saw that was me, I would jump off a bridge. I really would. I'd be like, or I'd just be like, wow, why didn't anybody tell me?
Jumping off a bridge advice from a podcast.
or I'd at least be like, wow, I need to make some different life choices. Like, I don't know what. I don't know why my family didn't intervene. You know, like this is what I look like. Oh my God. Go to the doctor immediately.
It's amazing. This combination of he's truly like one of the ugliest human beings alive. And he has this like self-satisfied, smug, shit-eating grin of like the kind of person who is blissfully not aware of that, right? It's
he looks
great.
Less healthy than Steve Bannon is all I'm saying.
Oh man. So Corsi, in what's kind of a preview of all of this, Corsi is mad at Stone for stuff that Alex Jones said, and Clayman is mad at Stone for stuff that Tucker Carlson has said. Why these people have not sued Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson, I do not know. But apparently Roger Stone went on InfoWars, said that Corsi was fired, was an alcoholic, often lies, was willing to perjure himself, has betrayed Stone, is a deep state operative and a fraud who is out there trying to make honest conservatives look bad, which I got to tell you, if so, he's doing a bang-up job.
I believed all of that up until the deep state part. I'm like, no, no deep state's going to hire this guy.
Yeah, right. And the assault, remember I said he also, that Corsi sued Stone for assault? The assault comes from Roger Stone looking into the camera and saying, I look forward to our confrontation. I will demolish you, which you may recognize as not a threat and therefore not assault. But Corsi says in his complaint that Stone, by saying I will demolish you, quote, intended to cause me to have heart attacks and strokes, end of quote. And I have to tell you, I think a vigorous walk across the living room would cause him to have heart attacks and strokes. So that causation is going to be a challenge.
So how are we at a deposition? Refresh my – so does this mean they weren't able to just eliminate, you know, and throw out these stupid lawsuits that are
so
terrible?
They were able to throw out some of them, right? Like, so remember I told you that Clayman and Corsi both sued Roger Stone in the District of Columbia? They sued him in front of a judge, in front of whom I have a pending case, actually, Timothy J. Kelly, very well-respected federal court judge in D.C. And just as a bit of background, Larry Clayman lives in Florida. Uh-huh. Roger Stone lives in Florida. InfoWars is in Texas.
Boy, that's –
Yeah.
That's some real Florida man behavior, this whole thing.
It really is.
I see it now.
So you might be thinking, how did we get into court in D.C.? And the answer is because Larry Clayman is an idiot. and said venue is proper in DC because Roger Stone's defamatory lies about Larry Klayman and Jerome Corsi were intended to influence his pending trial in DC. So that, and I read the order of dismissal, which came down a week and a half after this deposition, by the way. So we just, you know, got it under the wire. And you could just see Judge Kelly being like, I don't even know how to parse this level of crazy.
Yeah.
But so for good measure, right, in addition to suing him in D.C. because reasons, they also both Corsi sued Stone in Palm Beach County. Klayman sued Stone in both Broward County and Palm Beach County. So there are six different cases, and they all got consolidated for purposes of discovery. And the reason is the reasons are what you alluded to, right? Which is Roger Stone's about to go to prison. And so in a case, you can go forward and petition for expedited discovery. And my witness is about to be in jail is a really good basis for expedited discovery.
So it's such a good reason that it's able to get you in there for a deposition for a total nonsense lawsuit that has no chance of going forward. Is that what we're
yes.
So because this struck me as claimant and I, you know, I didn't see day one, 5 hour thing. but this struck me as claimant's got absolutely nothing. Like, am I, you know, is that right? Am I legal analysis correct? There is he can't even form a question. And you are telling me this is day two after he's like, I'm going to go hit the books, study up hard for day two because I must have blown it in day one. And he can't even form a question that has any bearing on anything.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So he just wanted to make Roger Stone sit through a deposition. Is that pretty much what you think?
It is the only look, trying to get inside Larry Klayman's head is an activity I do not recommend anyone engage in.
It's like the Simpsons where it zooms in on Homer, like they're at the funeral or whatever. Right. Or no. There's the one where where one of the sisters is going to marry Sideshow Bob. Is that what it is? And or something. Or they like, there's some place where at the wedding they're like, if anyone knows any reason why these two should not be wed.
Oh, that's the Troy McClure episode.
Oh, is it Troy McClure?
Oh, yeah, that's one Homer of the all time best. Yeah.
Homer knows something about like why, you know, why Troy McClure is bad or something. And it zooms in on his head where you think he's going to be like debating whether he should like say something. It just goes, da da da, hey, da 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 da. So that's what it's like getting inside Larry Klayman's head. If we were to zoom in a la The Simpsons, it would just be something.
You know
that
we should have watched instead of Larry Klayman's deposition?
Yeah,
I mean, anything. Anything.
Alex Jones's deposition again.
But B, that episode, which is A Fish Called Selma, which is
so good.
Oh my God. Homer, people don't do that sort of thing with fish. Like, it's just every aspect of that episode is amazing. And all of the Troy McClure was taken from us too soon. But anyway,
I think we've delayed long enough.
Oh, yeah. I guess we got to start this. So deposition starts. And I have this note. Some of our listeners may wonder, when you videotape depositions as opposed to just taking a regular deposition that is both audio taped and then transcribed. And the reason you would videotape it is because sometimes your witnesses look like this. we're tight. And in it varies state by state. So like, for example, in Maryland, you can play depositions of the parties at trial. Right.
Yeah, you'd want to do that with this if you ever got to that point.
That's right. Ordinarily, your depositions are used for impeachment purposes, right? And so what you do in a deposition is you pin down their testimony and then, you know, you say, Mr. Stone, have you ever been to the state of Vermont? And he says, no, absolutely, never, never, never. And then when he's put on the stand and on direct says, so when you were in Vermont, right, you then say, well, Mr. Stone, I'm confused. Do you remember when I deposed you 6 months ago and I asked you, have you ever been to Vermont? And you said no. So were you lying then or are you lying now? Right. Like that's sort of the classic use of depositions for impeachment. But also, even when you do well and make no mistake, right, like it isn't that Roger Stone does well in this deposition so much as Larry Klayman loses it in this deposition. But that's a good, you know, it's a good, but so even though Roger Stone doesn't say much that's going to hurt him in this trial, in this lawsuit, which isn't going anywhere, but he still looks like he's on meth in this entire, right? Like he looks like a crazy person, right? Roger Stone. So you want to have video of Roger Stone.
Absolutely.
Like this.
I mean, he continually looks like he's going to jump out of his own skin.
Yeah.
And he's sweating a fair amount. He looks like a giant pile of cocaine took a small bump of person. That's what the pile of cocaine is. Just, oh, what is this, a human? That's what he is. That's pretty much he's like making mouth thingies like a fucking nut job. He does. OK, this is a little obscure. But if anyone's an Extras fan, you know, get back when I liked Ricky Gervais. Great show. Extras is fucking great. Everyone should still watch it. in Extras, Ricky Gervais's character had a character in a stupid sitcom that would do this like mouth thing after he said everything, like this ridiculous thing. It's exactly that, but Roger Stone does it. If you've only ever seen pictures of Roger Stone, which is pretty much all I've tried to limit, you know, talk about social distancing. I'm just trying to limit my exposure to this guy. I've only ever really seen pictures of Roger Stone. When you see him actually talking, it's like, oh my God, this is a disturbed individual. I mean, part of it is he clearly really doesn't like Larry Klayman. Yeah. So, but this is video you would want to play at a trial if you could.
So we get Roger Stone fidgeting on camera for about 30 seconds. And then for question number one, we get Larry Klayman wants to play a clip from a guy from Tom Fitton, the president of Judicial Watch, on Tucker Carlson's show. So I just want to point out this level of inception of crazy, right? I'm watching Larry Klayman watching Tucker Carlson, and I would like to kill myself.
It's more Tucker Carlson than I've ever watched. Like, it's just like I had to sit. This is 42 minutes. This is at least a 2-3 minute clip, uninterrupted clip of Tucker Carlson. Okay, there's nothing better than these right-wing crazies fighting each other. I mean, they're like, I would like to point to Exhibit 9, which is Fox News with Tucker Carlson. And then the other guy's like, oh, yeah, well, Exhibit 12 is from Tommy Lauren's blog, which clearly contradicts your show. Oh, well, I would like to present Alex Jones, tape recorder day 593, which also will show that it's like they're just battling with these sources that are all just fucking stupid. Oh my gosh.
And so, yes. And that is smash your head open with a brick territory. The point of this, as far as I can tell, is Roger Stone is friends with Tucker Carlson. Yeah. So Tucker Carlson did an episode of his crazy show in which he had on Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch, and they mutually masturbated each other as to why Trump should pardon Roger Stone, which argument, by the way, this is a near direct quote, is, well, none of Roger Stone's crimes would have even been discovered but for the Mueller investigation. So, and that quote went nowhere. So, you know, you get a get out of jail free card for all this. Like, what the fuck kind of argument is that to begin with, right? Like, let's just imagine, right? Delete Roger Stone for a second and insert every street crime ever, right? I'd be like, yeah, well, the cops wouldn't have discovered my secret stash of, you know, of cocaine if not for, like,
they were going after El Chapo and they never caught him, but like, or something.
Yeah.
But like, along the way, you discovered someone else was doing all this crime. You wouldn't be like, well, since you didn't catch the main guy you were looking for.
Yeah. All, everybody else. Right. Why on earth would we want to lock up people who have committed crimes? And like it just in that 2 minutes, you get this terrifying glimpse into the world of Tucker Carlson and the like it, just the level of contortion that you have to do.
But we also also get he's like, you're good friends with Tucker Carlson. He's like, yep. Mm-hmm. So he's on record. And then. After that, he like says, why don't you depose Tucker Carlson? Why don't you depose Tucker Carlson? And Klayman's like, oh, we will. We'll get to that. So did that happen? Or did this get ended before?
That did not happen and will not happen.
Oh, because right? Tucker Carlson, as of now, is not going to prison. So they didn't have the excuse for the early deposition.
And Tucker Carlson is not a party to this lawsuit, right? Why? I don't know. Because, like, that seems to me to be the harm of which Larry Klayman is complaining in this deposition. But he hasn't sued Tucker Carlson. So, like, you can, when you're a witness, right, you can be subpoenaed to show up at trial. But, like, you can't be subpoenaed, for example, outside of a, you know, again, depending federal court, state court, but outside of a certain geographical radius, right? Like they can't require you to fly across the country.
Just for a deposition.
And if it's a massive hardship and you don't have any information, then, you know, you just file a motion. They subpoena you and you file a motion to quash with the court that's like, I'm not a part of this lawsuit. These people are fucking crazy. And I'm Tucker Carlson saying that. And the judge is like, yeah, no, even that's you're
I thought
right.
You were doing Tucker Carlson sign off for a second. These people are crazy, and I'm Tucker Carlson. Good night.
Oh my gosh. Okay, all right, Tucker, you're listening, and we know you're listening. Give me a call. I got a new show that I want to pitch for.
He just does that dumb look that he stares in the camera the whole time.
My God.
So,
do you remember when Tucker Carlson was like an actual journalist and just like had repugnant right-wing ideas but was not yet like completing the transmogrification into Alex Jones?
I don't, but I'll occasionally read stuff, and sorry, I have the sound on for the video, so I just my message sounds are going to come through. But wait, what did you just send me?
That was the first clip that we were about to queue up when you finish. So
I have the video. Is it a different video or are you just giving me the time?
Yeah, just the timestamp.
Oh, just tell me the time. Why don't you just tell me the? Never mind. You're not a Seinfeld fan.
Yeah. Anyway. No, I am. What do you mean I'm not a Seinfeld fan? I'm a huge Seinfeld.
Sorry. I forgot. Okay. My mistake. What the hell was I saying? Yeah, I'll read stuff occasionally when I'm doing any research, you know, about it's just whatever and Tucker Carlson's latest white power show that he did. And it'll be like, yeah, he, you know, used to be on like actual journalism shows as just a guy, right? And I don't really believe it, but apparently, you know, old people like Andrew remember when Tucker Carlson was a journalist.
It's true. He used to just like be that guy who would go on MSNBC and sort of like make the right wing argument. And you were like, OK, well, you know, he's wrong, but, you know, he hasn't been clubbed about the head repeatedly. And I don't know what happened. But yeah. So that little boop was me telling you to go to 6:13 in the deposition and play the first clip. And I'm gonna set this one up because right out of the box. So we're not gonna play any of the like them watching Tucker Carlson because then the inception.
Then
would
you'd
come
just be
full
listening
circle
to
and,
us watching yeah, them watching
them
Carlson.
Watching Tucker Carlson. Right? Yeah. No, we're not doing that. After that, Klayman says, "You called Tucker Carlson and you made him run this show, right?" And Roger Stone's like, "No,
no."
And Klayman is like, "Uh huh." and this is Roger Stone. Getting back into it with Larry Klayman, and I just feel so bad for Roger Stone's lawyer. This is not the first time.
I don't feel bad for anybody involved in this. That's the thing. That's the beautiful thing about this. No, none of these people at any time should have any of your sympathy.
Except
the poor, like if there's a, I don't know, a custodian in there or somebody, you know, like somebody is kind of in charge of the venue. You know, that's the only person, just a bystander. Here, I'll hit play.
Let's go ahead. Hit play.
In any event, if you want to keep attacking me, your deposition is going to end rather quickly, and you can go running off to the judge and do whatever you
relax,
like.
Relax, relax.
If you want to ask intelligent questions, if you keep attacking me, I'm just going to keep attacking you.
And it's unfair to attack a person who's not in the room. You just said that Tucker Carlson will lie. So or lie.
My statement stands for itself. Okay. Yes, I said maybe he will tell the truth.
Yes, it does. I have just told the truth.
Okay, now
you have no evidence to the contrary.
Relax.
Let's.
All right. So I just want to point out the number of times I have had to look, and I've had some bad witnesses in depositions. The number of times I've had to physically reach out, restrain my own witness, and go, "Please relax, relax." Yeah. Is zero.
I have that written in my notes. Relax, relax. Like everybody's a relax. I'm like, yeah, everybody, come on, relax. Like, jeez. Yeah. But if you aren't seeing it, everybody, you can't see that he. Every time Stone talks, he really does look like he has some serial killer inside his body trying to leap out and just kill people. Like he looks like that the whole time. It's creepy.
Yeah, and Roger Stone, if you have not heard him before, and I had not heard him before, he's got that like the kind of gravelly voice, right? So mm-hmm. That's
dude,
Roger
like
Stone,
Alex Jones, kind
of. Yeah, kind of.
I meant to say from the get go, like first note on my video is, I think it's a bad sign for any deposition if right when it's starting, like right when you sit down, you've already chugged your whole water like twice. Did you notice that?
Oh,
I think it's probably the cocaine. But like Roger Stone sits down, he's like, okay, let's do the deposition. Okay, what do you, like that's how he starts the deposition.
He 100% has dry mouth for this, because this deposition, start to finish, this day is 43 minutes long, and he gets the water jug refilled twice, right?
Like it does.
That's not a joke, right?
No, like
that's an actual thing.
I'm not
thing.
Joking that he's on something. I don't know if I'm not an expert. I don't know that it's cocaine for sure. No, actually, I do know that it's cocaine is one thing he's probably on. I don't know. There may be more other things. I couldn't tell you the exact cocktail of what he's had, but it's something. It's not nothing.
And so you see his lawyer trying to like rein him in,
was that Klayman? I thought Klayman was a calm down.
No.
Oh no,
that
oh,
is
okay.
Yeah.
The problem is Klayman and his lawyer sound identical to me. Like it's
oh,
very
really?
Hard to tell. They sound very similar. So sorry. So it's his own lawyer. Just like, all right, calm down.
Yeah, and his lawyer is a reasonably. You know, is a good lawyer, right? It's not a big firm, but it is a litigation boutique in Florida. He represents Rush Limbaugh. This guy clearly has a practice like representing right wing monsters.
Yeah.
But Klayman's lawyer is Klayman represents himself. Stone's lawyer is reasonably competent. Also present in the deposition because they are part of one of the six lawsuits is Newsmax, and Newsmax is represented by Duane Morris, which is a huge multinational, you know, Covington and Burling style firm, and put a pin in that because we will get to that, because I just imagine again. It's kind of your own damn fault for having Newsmax as a client. I agree with that. But I am sympathetic to, like, the poor fifth-year associate who was sent out to, like, handle this deposition and has to go back and, like, report to the senior partner of what the hell happened. And it's like, all right, so you're not going to believe. So right out of the box, you get... this a good solid 8 minutes of bickering back and forth between Klayman and Stone, where you heard Stone say, you keep attacking me, I'm gonna keep attacking you, and it's like, that's not how this is supposed to work. And the only question that that goes well for Larry Klayman here that I have been unable to figure out is Klayman asks the question, you went on Alex Jones the day after you were sentenced, right? And you, the day after you were convicted, correct? And Stone says yes. And then Klayman says, and in fact, the judge in that case used that appearance as a basis for arguing. The prosecutors in that case used that appearance in asking that you be incarcerated.
Mm.
And Stone says, absolutely 100% false. You have no evidence of that. Well, actually, that's 100% true. Like, he shouldn't have answered that question because that's a question that.
Yeah, it's a, isn't that a question about somebody else's motives for doing a thing or something? Like, why would that be?
Well, and it's also, it doesn't prove anything related to any kind of defamation. This is a defamation lawsuit.
Wouldn't you just be like, I don't know what the prosecution used. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
That's right. And again, what you have, you might recall that this was Judge Amy Berman Jackson had put a gag order on Roger Stone after Roger Stone,
several times, I thought.
Yeah, right. Went on his website and put the crosshairs over Amy Berman Jackson's face. And, you know, and the judge was like, all right, you're going to shut the hell up about this case now. And then the day after Stone was the jury came back and found Stone guilty, Stone went on Info, you know, gave an interview with InfoWars, and the prosecutors did, in fact, go back to Judge Jackson and say, all right, you just got to lock this guy up because he doesn't care about your gag order at all. So that question, weirdly enough, right, Klayman is correct. Sorry, I got to get some water here to wash that taste out here.
Yeah, correct in his question that has nothing to do with anything.
It has absolutely nothing to do with anything. And you see, and again, this is where I would say a lawyer of any skill would have been able to gain some very useful testimony, because Roger Stone is very clearly just going to deny literally everything that Larry Klayman says. And that can be super useful in a deposition for all the reasons that I described.
Let me ask you a technical deposition question, I think, because we covered, I was surprised last time, this is the second one we've done, right? The Alex Jones one, Alex Jones was kind of secret genius, right? I mean, if I remember right, he won that one, essentially.
He won that one handily, yes.
But what's the, I don't remember him saying anything like Stone is saying, where he's like, you have no evidence of that. You have no evidence. Like, how does that, let's pretend we're not in crazy town for a second. Is there a benefit to answering you have no evidence for that for in a deposition? Wouldn't you just say yes or no, or I'm not going to answer?
Yeah, it is. It's the worst possible way of answering this question. So we should say, right, Roger Stone, and again, I feel for his lawyers. You don't. I get that. Roger Stone keeps getting asked these questions, and he will answer them with no, no, absolutely not, categorically not. You have no evidence for that. If you have evidence for that, put that on and prove it. You can't. That's not the way you answer a deposition question when the other side has no evidence. The way you answer a deposition, the way you answer that at a deposition where the other side has no evidence is, I don't have any recollection of that, right? That's the right way to answer a question where the answer
protects you just in case.
Might be yes, might be no, because what a competent lawyer does when you're lying and the answer is yes, and you say, I don't have any recollection of that, is that's when they enter. Oh, you don't have any recollection of that. Well, here's an email, right? You know, have you ever been to Vermont? I don't have any recollection of that. Okay. Well, here is a document.
Do you just practice Vermont law? What is it? Was the
I don't know.
Do a lot of your cases hinge on whether or not someone's been to Vermont?
Your
litigation, huh?
I've never litigated in Vermont, so
no, it's just about people taking trips to Vermont.
I've never litigated about the state of Vermont, as far as I can remember.
Have you or have you not, Mr. Torres, litigated? Oh, sorry.
Right. And then I would say, not that I recall. And then you would introduce an email, and you would say, "Do you recognize this email?" Yes, it was produced during this litigation. And
number one Vermont fan at gmail.com. That account. Who is that?
Yeah. Okay. That
it's
is
you,
me.
Isn't it?
Yes. And then you would say, so let's go back to my question. You have, in fact, been to Vermont, haven't you, Mr. Torres? Right. That's the way sane people do depositions. But
you're, in fact, wearing that hat with the ear thingies that go over your ears aren't you?
The toque. Yeah.
Whatever that's called.
It says University of Vermont. Oh, man. I used to know who the University of Vermont mascot was, but but I don't.
I bet you did, Mr. Torres. Oh, okay, we're out of this.
So anyway, that's how you do it, right? And if you know that Larry Klayman is just shouting crap at you, then you just say, I don't have any recollection of that, right? And then instead of you being like, put on your evidence.
Say no. I assume it's a no answer. Are you saying that people should just always answer, I don't have any recollection of that?
Don't take deposition here. Yeah, right. I am certainly not counseling anyone to lie or mislead in their depositions. What I am saying is, if you're representing a scumbag like Roger Stone, and you have a pretty good idea that he's going to be lying in his depositions, maybe you might want to do some practice questions with him. Oh my God, I can't even imagine. Like, usually I will sit down and do, you know, a couple of hours of depo prep with a witness where I will step into the role of opposing counsel and I'll try and, could you imagine having to be Roger Stone's lawyers and be like, okay, well, I'm going to pretend to be Larry Klayman for a minute. then I'm going to drink a bottle of bourbon to forget that time in which I had to pretend that I was Larry Klayman. I don't even know how you would do it. It's just, wow. But anyway, yeah, you would say to him, look, stop saying absolutely not when he just throws out assertions, right? Because when you answer a question definitively, right, that question pins down your testimony and can be used to impeach you at trial. And so, look, yeah, you don't lie about it. But like, so for example, if somebody had asked me, have you ever been to Vermont? I actually have driven through Vermont in going from Massachusetts to Canada, right? right. And so I would say, well, what do you mean by have I been to Vermont, right? And then the lawyer would say, have you ever set foot in the state of Vermont, right? And I would say, yes. And then they would say, what? You know, okay, so tell me about when you've been to Vermont. And I, as an evasive witness, assuming you want to be evasive, would say, well, certainly one time I remember going to Vermont is in spring break when I was in law school, and a friend of mine and I drove from Boston to Montreal. No, we went to Montreal. It was a lot of fun. And we drove through Vermont to get from Boston to Montreal. And then again, notice I gave a qualifier in that. So what? You're a good lawyer. What do you ask as a follow-up?
Are there any other times?
There you go. That's exactly right. So concerned. You listen to my answer. You see, am I answering your question fully? I'm not. And then it's your job to ask follow-up questions on that. Any other times you've been to Vermont? Okay. And then I go through, is that all the times you've been to Vermont? And then I would say, to the best of my recollection, yes. And then you have the document that, you know, also shows I was in Vermont.
Does this sound like a man who's had all he can eat?
Exactly. Right. You gotta do it a bit more nasally for the.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to remember which attorney. That sounds to me like it's that guy, right? It's not Troy Miller. Yeah. So they have the good lawyer.
No. I think he does use Lionel. Yeah, he uses Lionel Hutz on that. That's right. So I'm wrong. I misremembered it.
I don't know that's right. I feel like it's the scummy lawyer, isn't it?
We'll have to go back and watch. But anyway, so the bottom line of that is you just don't want to be in a position where your client is making these definitive statements, particularly to questions that are wildly open-ended and make no sense.
So good.
Now I want you to queue up. This is 8:56.
It is Lionel Hutz. Confirmed. Yeah. It's Lionel Hutz. You're right. I remember for a second I thought it was the good lawyer because they actually end up winning that.
They win, but yeah. No. So please queue up 8:56
of the Simpsons or of the. Yeah. Oh, okay.
That would be much better than this.
Here we go.
You told Tucker Carlson at some point.
Did you say Tucker Carlson?
I was ousted from Judicial Watch because of a sexual harassment complaint. Did he go ask Fitton, correct?
You have no evidence of that whatsoever.
I'm asking you the question.
The answer is no. The answer is no. But these wild conspiracy theories of yours are really getting wearing. That is false. Categorically false. It was kind of disingenuous if you showed me that you sued Fitton yesterday, but not that Fitton sue you and actually won a judgment. You didn't mention that in your colloquy.
I also didn't mention that I won a judgment against Judicial Watch for defaming me.
Oh, that's the one
I've
I'm
not seen any such judgment.
All right, well, you can go back on the internet and figure that one out.
He's not even a lawyer and he's kicking your ass.
As one of our intro quotes on the show.
Oh, remind me whenever that comes up.
He's not even a lawyer and he's kicking your ass. I'm sorry. That was the first but not the last moment where I sat there, legitimately laughed out loud, and then immediately felt as guilty as a human being could possibly feel of like, damn it, I found Roger Stone funny.
No, when both sides are this despicable, you can just root for the haymakers. You know, you can just, you don't, it doesn't mean you're rooting for Roger Stone. You're just, if either of them connects, you're happy.
there you go. But, and I think we're going to, I think we're going to elide over a part of the response where, after saying, you know, these crazy conspiracy theories, and then Larry Klayman looks at Roger Stone and says, well, conspiracies sometimes happen, right? And Roger Stone can't say like, oh, come on, you're fucking nut. He's got to be like, well, yeah, but you know, not this one, right?
Well, let me go to where the next thing, I think I had something here. Let me
Mr.
see.
Mr. Klayman, please.
Now,
I think you
remember when you were, as you put it, a political consultant working on my Senate campaign?
Vaguely. It was quite a while ago.
I might, oh, dang, I
remember
I that. Hold on, let me go
there
earlier.
Came a point
I think
in
I
time
it.
When...
Usual.
Stop. Yeah. Ask a question a lawyer would ask.
That was the one. I got my time save was a little off. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that was my next one, too. And I need to point out that was prefaced by...
Here, I can go back if you want.
No, it's okay. Oh, okay. It was prefaced by the objection, can you ask a question relevant to your lawsuit?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, will not happen at any point in this deposition.
Yeah.
And then Larry Klayman's response to opposing counsel saying, can you ask a question relevant to your lawsuit is like, yeah, well, didn't you get on the internet and see like that? And it's just like, it's bonkers, and it requires then... Stone's lawyer to do the you heard him say stop ask a question a lawyer would ask. We could just do an entire set of intro quotes just
we really
this
could that one's probably my favorite stop ask a question a lawyer
that's good too although you know I he's not even a lawyer and he's kicking your ass is probably my favorite and this by the way is when Roger Stone really starts doing the mouth thing in earnest.
Yeah. It's disturbing. It's
super, super weird. But yeah, so after we get ask a question a lawyer would ask, in response to that, we get Larry Klayman reading an entire Tucker Carlson blog post into the record for like 3.5
I love
fucking
it too.
Minutes.
First we get like 10 seconds of silence as Larry Klayman's like, fuck, what would a lawyer do? I have no idea what a lawyer would ask. Yeah. He's like trying to regroup. He's like, I don't know. I can't do a lawyer. I'm just going to do Larry Klayman. I don't know what a lawyer would do. Sorry. I can't help you there.
Ipso fatso, therefore.
Did you say ipso fatso?
Yes. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, no, it's great. So ask a question a lawyer would ask. Klayman says, what would a lawyer do? I know. Read 3 minutes of a Tucker Carlson blog post, which then gets Roger Stone's lawyer to say, where's the source of this document? And Larry Klayman says, and I quote, it was taken off the website. I don't know where that's from. So I just want to point this out, right? And then there's a back and forth for like 10 minutes, and we can't play any of it because it's not really funny, but it's 100% correct, right? Roger Stone's lawyers, like what you do is in discovery, your written discovery are called RFPs, request for production. And one of the stock RFPs is produce all of the documents that you intend to rely upon at trial, right? And RFPs are, the obligation is ongoing, right? So when you discover a document later, you have to go back and supplement, assuming they've asked the right way, but the standard RFPs are written in such a way that your obligation to produce is ongoing. And that's what stops you from having like the surprise smoking gun document at trial, because they've said anything you're going to use as a trial exhibit, you got to give us, right? So when Clayman turns over this undated, unsourced, blog post from Tucker Carlson, his lawyers are like, none of us have ever seen this before. What the hell are you doing? And Clayman says, well, we could go have a hearing about this. I suppose they could have a hearing about this, but they will have a hearing that Larry Clayman will lose, right? And this is day two of the deposition, so it's clear that what happened is Larry Clayman finished up day one and then went and did some more like Googling on the internet to find stuff about Roger Stone.
He just has no idea where he got any of it. He's just, I don't know, the internet. Is that a valid source? You say as a lawyer, Andrew? What's the source of this document? Internet?
I pulled it off. It was taken off the website. I don't know where it's from. And again, I just want to point out, like, because Larry Clayman is not even pretending to be a lawyer here, right? He doesn't even do, like, I've used the cargo cult analogy before, but like, even if you were a cargo cult lawyer, right, you've seen enough deposition testimony to know that what you do is you hand over the document. You say, Mr. Stone, do you recognize this document? Yeah. You describe what it is, right? That way it's authenticated.
This looks like a document from the internet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would know it anywhere. This is a page something of the internet.
Yeah.
Is this where I just have an all caps document fight? So that must be what you're talking
yes.
about. Where
yes.
they just document fight. And is this where, I don't want to jump ahead, there's a point where he's like, what's the source of this one? He's like, HTTPS Twitter.com.
Yes, yes. It is
boomeriest boomer moment. This whole thing is just one big okay boomer.
Which tube of the internet did you pull this out of? Yeah.
HTTPS Twitter.com.
And by the way, we could go, I don't know that we need to play it at 27:30. It's the only criticism I have of Stone's lawyers, because Stone's.
Let's do it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here. By Tucker Carlson, was it not?
We're not talking about it. Next question. I'm instructing you not to answer.
Certify it. Now, you testified yesterday that you produced all the documents that you were required to produce with regard to Dr. Corsi and me in the course of this case, correct?
I believe that to be the case.
Right. I'm going to ask the court reporter to mark the following document as Exhibit 13.
Please tell me this is the Twitter printout.
I think it is.
Oh, good. Got a lot of good document shuffling for the intro, too.
Nothing but
this
the best for
shows
our listeners.
Communication with Joel Gilbert on or about October 20th, 2016. You know who Joel Gilbert
yes,
is,
Yes, I
right?
do. Yes, I do.
Who is Joel Gilbert?
Joel Gilbert is a brilliant filmmaker in Los Angeles.
Right. And he writes to you on October 20th, 2016, I know longtime Clinton tormentor, attorney Larry Clayman. He might be the kind of guy who would take this case for three, should I talk to him. What case was that?
There was an effort to prove the paternity
the right
of
clip, or
Danny
you?
Williams
yeah. okay.
In Arkansas. And I wanted an Arkansas-based attorney to represent the young gentleman. And I was prepared to finance his suit because I believe he's telling the truth. At that time, I had the resources to do so.
And you wrote back to Mr. Gilbert, over my dead body. That's
correct.
Referring to me, correct?
Yes, correct. Absolutely.
Okay. You didn't produce this, did you?
I,
I don't know whether I did or not, but it may have slipped through. I certainly stand by my comment, though.
I took a little bit to get to over my dead body, but yeah. I just want to point out, right, that again, Klayman is unable to authenticate the document, right? Like, he almost does it, right? He's like, you know who Joel Gilbert is, right? And he says, yes. But he doesn't say, like, do you recall sending this email, right? Like, doesn't do anything to authenticate the email. But this entire line of questioning, like, you're perfectly reasonable. It is not defamation when someone says, hey, should we get Larry Klayman to do this? And you write back, over my dead body.
That is what I think we all should write in that situation. Like, for once, we're on Roger Stone's side here. That is a totally legitimate reply. Completely
over
reasonable.
My dead body.
And it's so great. If you watch it, he like, Roger Stone smiles. Again, it's like, it's like watching Dexter for a moment. You know, sometimes he serial kills a criminal or somebody who deserves it, you know, and you can kind of cheer on Dexter for a moment. It's like that. Roger Stone gets a crazy look in his eye when he's like, yeah, that refers to you. He's like, I stand by it too.
And there is 7 minutes of colloquy back and forth about various emails between Roger Stone and Joel Gilbert. And
did he give out Roger Stone's Gmail account? Or I heard him say player02 or something like that at gmail.com. Is that you? Should we email that right now?
I think we should play that. Absolutely.
Have a timestamp. What do you have a timestamp for?
Yeah, I don't have a timestamp for it. It's somewhere between 30 minutes and 37 minutes on the.
Oh, so if you want, it's 30. Yeah. I have it narrowed down between 30 and 33.
Refuses to do. You didn't produce this document either in this case, did you?
I'm not really sure. I don't recall seeing it previously. I would, however, stand by everything it says.
I'll ask that the court reporter, 2018 at 11:52 p.m. from you. It was sent to Joel Gilbert. It was provided to me by Gilbert. And it says, why is Mueller poised to indict Jerry Corsi for failure to lie? You didn't produce this document either, did you?
I'm uncertain.
So does Klayman have any sort of point here? Like, should he have produced these documents?
Yeah, I think so. No, let's be most charitable, right? Again, Klayman will have sent out his own RFPs, right? We just talked about that process, and one of the RFPs is right, all documents that relate to the subject matter of the lawsuit, for example. That's almost certainly going to be stock RFP number one, and so Klayman's argument is, well, see, this is you secretly defaming me to Joel
can
Gilbert.
Can you secretly defame? Well, I guess
you have,
if it like
you have to publish, but you can publish to one other person. So, you know, I used secretly defaming to make fun of Larry Klayman. But so long as it's published to one other person, an email can be defamatory.
Okay.
Right. But the problem is that none of the stuff that Larry Klayman seems to think is important here could possibly be defamatory, right? Like, it's all just Roger Stone saying, Larry Klayman's a lunatic. Well, look, if calling Larry Klayman a lunatic is defamatory,
then I don't want to be right.
Then Larry Klayman, you're going to have to sue Opening Arguments Media, LLC, a Maryland limited liability corporation. We should set up a Patreon goal for that, right? Get Larry Klayman to sue us and depose Thomas. It would be
like Frost Nixon, but stupid.
I would videotape it, and that would instantly replace every bit of pornography that has ever been in my collection for all eternity.
Step one, I'm going to chug all the water in the room. As fast as I can. It'd be like, give me more water, you son of a bitch.
It would be so great. So during this time period, right, Larry Klayman says to Roger Stone, you've made reference to various bar proceedings concerning me, correct? Right? And and Stone's lawyer just gives up on the, like, ask a question a non-crazy person would ask, right? Like, what? It's just...
Uh-oh, Andrew's... Andrew's circuits.
My brain. Yeah.
His circuits.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a point where this happened several times, but I realized I just wrote it down as a general note because I don't have a timestamp. But he keeps doing the, like, oh, you'll, like, Larry Klayman tries to say, like, oh, you'll be in prison then, you know, because Stone will be like, oh, why don't you take it up with the judge? And then Klayman's response will be like, well, you'll be in prison by the time I'm done with that, essentially. And then Stone's like, well, you'll be disbarred by then. And I don't know. If we're talking about wins and losses here, I'll tally that one for Klayman. I think it's probably better to be disbarred than be in prison, I would say.
Yep.
So that's not really.
And Stone gets it wrong, too, because he keeps saying that Klayman is subject to disciplinary proceedings in New York when it is, in fact, in the District of Columbia. and probably Klayman will not be disbarred. I mean, this is...
Yeah, we've learned that it takes a lot to get disbarred. Too much, in fact, I will say.
Being completely fucking incompetent at your job is not enough. Like, otherwise, this... Like, we would just package up this depo and send it to
email
DC
it
bar
to the
complaints.
Bar.
Like, right now, I'd be like, can you watch and tell me? And
hey,
I'm just,
do you realize
about,
this person is pretending to be a lawyer? Do you maybe want to put a stop to that?
There's a bit in I think it's in the first Hitchhiker's book where they talk about a lawsuit of is truth beauty, is beauty truth, and the punchline is, and the judge ultimately found life itself in contempt of court and ordered it summarily removed from everyone in the courtroom. And
yeah,
that would be a fitting conclusion to this deposition. We then get to, I only have two more notes here, but we get at if you want to queue up 3719, and I will set this one up.
Sure. Before that, I have 3330. I don't know if it's worth playing.
3330 or fight. Yeah, no, let's play it.
But it's basically...
And the court's time.
Is that the way you feel about your criminal
prosecution? Stop doing that.
There'll be no questions about my criminal.
Stop doing that.
Well, you got to be up in New York arguing with the bar about him disbarring you.
Stop.
And I like there's like a woman in the room, like everybody, the janitor, stop. Can you come on? Even I know this is bad law.
That woman is the court reporter, who, by the way, is required not to talk during these proceedings. Like, yeah. but you can see, like, it's just like it is. And I will tell you, like, court reporters are lovely and wonderful human beings.
I'm sure they're the epitome of professional until this situation happens.
And they have, it's also one of the things that's just delightful about a court reporter is that they bring in the stenographer machine, right? And the stenographer machine, it hits all of my, like,
I could watch someone use that thing for...
Oh, yeah.
Talk about your porn collection. That would, there'd be some of that.
Well, ASMR on the stenographer machine.
In a balanced porn diet.
it for me, it just hits that, like, retro 1950s future that, you know, I grew up sort of like watching the Jetsons in reruns and that kind of thing. And
it's
like
one of those things I don't understand and I don't ever want to understand. Like, yeah. I'd rather, it's more beautiful to just see, like, how is that a keyboard? That doesn't make sense. What is
it's
that?
It's like 12 keys and you push down, like, chord combinations and
impossible.
It looks like if you took, you know, the Phantom of the Opera, like, you know, when the Phantom is playing the piano and, like, condensed it down to something where you have to mash your two hands together. It's beautiful and delightful. And I think our fabulous transcriptionist Heather Loveridge is a court reporter. And so I just got
to
ask
Heather to do an explainer and a demonstration.
Oh my God,
of that
would be so great.
Weird thing.
Yeah, so Heather, when you listen to this, please send in an explainer on using the transcription.
That would be
machine.
Pretty fucking cool. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
It would be great. I feel like Heather has said she has she kind of has like keyboard shortcut. I don't know. Maybe she's, yeah, well, I'm sure she knows. She would know the answers.
It looks like it couldn't possibly work, right?
No, yeah, exactly. That's, yeah. I think it's a joke every time. Like, it's, yeah, not, I feel like it's one of those things that they've all just protected the industry secret. Like, all that's really happening is there's just a tape recorder inside that thing, you know, and then like they type it up later or something. They're like, oh no, it's a very complicated machine. I've got to, like, somehow I'm doing all this anyway.
My grandmother on my mom's side, knew shorthand, right? She worked for, right, the Illinois State Legislature, and she showed me her notes in shorthand once, and that's another lost. I mean, you know, kids these days can't read cursive.
I know,
which is good.
Yeah, but, you know, it's. I remember when my, you know, because I have super old parents, and then, you know, I for a minute I had like one grandparent, because when you have super old parents, you don't really get grandparents, and it really is cool, like some of the old stuff, old timey stuff like that, where you're just like, yeah. Obviously, the future is the future. It's always going to, yeah, we're always going to be doing whatever the thing is that's the latest technology, but still is kind of cool to be like, man, how they did certain stuff back then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you like the typewriters back then, you like had to, it was the same, but you had to push down the lever and it would like swing a, you know, like catapult style thing, yeah, that would like slam through a ribbon and like leave an impression on the paper. Like, that's how typewriters used to work.
I have an old typewriter somewhere. Oh. They're pretty, typewriters are awesome. They're fun to write on.
Yeah. Anyway. There was still, because legal forms up until like,
yeah, way too late, like 2007, yeah, probably, yeah, you're still like typewriting them.
There were some that like were required to still be typewriters. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah,
well, I remember we had, oh my God, it's so bad. When we talk about our healthcare system, back when I worked for the ophthalmologist that I worked for as the accountant, there was like some of the forms, you know, that they still, and I don't remember if it was for an insurance company that was just trying to make it as hard as possible, because that's how insurance companies make money, or if it was, it might have been the government. Where, you know, like, to, in order to get the claims from Medicare or whatever, you know, Medi-Cal, whichever it would be, you had to like use a typewriter. We still had a typewriter in the office. This was 2010 or 2009 or something like that. We still had a fucking typewriter, which they would have to put the form in, do the typewritery thing over the form, and then like fax it. It's the best.
Yeah, and there were just certain documents that, you know, you had to, I won't lie, hand to your secretary, and she would have to go to the Selectric and put the actual information on. And
we've got 8 or 9 minutes of solid good law still left to discuss, right? So we better get back to it.
Yeah. Now I want to say, unless you have something between 33:30 and 37:19, go ahead, cue up 37:19. I want to set this up because this is truly the most baffling thing I have ever seen a lawyer do. And it does not even draw. I don't know if it, actually we'll listen together. I can't remember if it draws an objection from Stone's lawyers or if Stone himself is just like, yeah, I'm not, because I remember it as Stone himself kind of looks at this and is like, I'm not fucking doing that. and it is, and he doesn't, right?
Oh, is like, this where he wants him to read the whole
he's saying,
oh, okay, should I just play it?
37:19.
All right,
ahead.
Here we go.
I want you to go through it.
He hands him a binder, like a giant,
and tell me what
binder
you consider,
of papers.
If you consider anything to be inaccurate in that affidavit.
Objection. If some of it will call for legal conclusion. We went through this yesterday. You went
this
through
is
it
factual.
Line by line.
This is factual. Okay, I've been asking him.
I have no obligation to do that, and I'm not going to do it.
Certified.
Yes, please do.
You can ask your individual questions like you did yesterday.
Well, take an opportunity, Mr. Stone. We have time to review the affidavit.
I'm not going to read your biography.
And tell me, not tell me whether anything's inaccurate.
I'm not going to read your biography and all of your asinine claims because you're an egomaniac. I'm just not going to do that. Right. If you have specific question,
right, pose it. We'll go to the court about it.
I agree. Let's go to the court about it. I want to do that. Your reputation here is well known. Well known.
Hold on, there's one more thing he says.
I'm asking you, you can take your time, go through it paragraph by paragraph. Tell me if anything's inaccurate.
I'm not going to do that.
We went through this yesterday.
We didn't go, I didn't ask it that way.
He likes to hear his biography. It makes him feel important.
I'm glad we both knew to end on that part, because, oh my God, it was just...
He wants him to read this giant... He says it's an affidavit? Is that what it...
Yeah. And I think the binder is because, okay, another like bit of depo prep, like when a real lawyer like myself is prepping for a deposition, what you do is you make multiple copies of all of your documents, right? Mm-hmm. So you have one copy for yourself. You have one copy that you hand to the court reporter that she puts a little sticker on and, you know, becomes mark. That's when you say, mark, this is Exhibit 9. Like, you actually hand it to the court reporter and he will, like, put a little yellow sticker on it that says exhibit, and we'll write a 9 and we'll hand it to the witness. And then you also give a courtesy copy to the witness's lawyer, right? And so the witness's lawyer can follow along. Like, that's just sort of standard practice. And you do that so that they do the same thing when they're deposing, right? And you're not, like, looking over the shoulder with your client or whatever. Larry Klayman hasn't done that. And so he's handing over his binder, his trial prep binder, which has Klayman's affidavit at the beginning of the binder, which is Klayman saying under oath all of the things that Roger Stone has allegedly said that has defamed him, and hands it over and says, I want you to take all the time you need, read all of that, and then tell me everything that's wrong with it. And you could hear, right? Like, you could see Roger Stone's lawyer, like, his brain breaking in the middle of doing that. I'm like, no. And, like, and Roger Stone, again, is just, I mean, you heard him say, he's just like, no, I'm not doing that. No. And I loved the, like, aside where he looks at the camera and is like, yeah, this guy likes to hear his biography read because that makes him feel important.
And he starts taking off. So he starts taking off his microphone. He's like, we're done here. And then we come back for like a minute.
So, and this
what's
is
happening there.
Yeah. So this was the pin that I told you to put in at the very beginning of this episode. And you can cue it on up to 40:52. So this is the lawyer from Duane Morris. Again, big firm, Covington-like, this poor associate, because and he represents Newsmax, right? And Newsmax is, one of these dumbass right-wing, I don't even remember the, like, I know there is a Newsmax, but I think they also own some other, like, beyond bonkers right-wing publications, and they're sued. Maybe they're Tucker Carlson. I don't know who they are. Whatever. But Newsmax, and believe me, I did a lot of fucking work for this Law and Awful Movies. I watched Roger Stone watching Tucker Carlson. I am not looking up what Newsmax owns. So that's the lawyers are coming back, and because Newsmax is a co-defendant along with Roger Stone, you have the right, even though you're mostly aligned, you have the right to ask questions of the co-defendant witness, right? And that's what this is. This is less than a minute in length. And by the way, this is, of the entire 6 hours that this deposition lasts from beginning to end, this 60 seconds is the only part that is a real lawyer asking real questions of a witness. This is 100% how you depose a witness, and it's how you depose a witness in like 57 seconds. So so cue up 40:52. We'll play it, and then
questions,
and
even though there weren't even any sightings on where these came from.
Thank you, Mr. Lerner.
I just have a few questions, and I'll get us out of here. are you aware, in the complaint in Corsi versus Stone and Newsmax and Cardillo, the case that my client is involved in, there are allegations regarding Cassandra Fairbanks' appearance on Newsmax television on January 30, 2019. Are you aware of that?
I am.
Okay. Were you aware in advance of January 30, 2019, that Cassandra Fairbanks was going to appear on Newsmax on that day?
I was not.
Did you discuss the possible appearance of Cassandra Fairbanks on Newsmax with anybody at Newsmax
I did
at
not.
Around that time?
I did not.
Christopher Ruddy?
Did not.
John Bachman?
Did not.
John Cardillo?
Did not.
Did you discuss with anybody at Newsmax at or about that time presenting anything negative about Jerome Corsi?
I did not.
Did you encourage anyone at Newsmax to present Jerome Corsi in a negative light?
I did not.
Did you ask anybody else to contact Newsmax on your behalf to encourage them to present Jerome Corsi in a negative light?
I did not.
Okay. I have nothing. Okay.
That's how you depose a witness.
That was the whole deposition done. Like, that could have been...
Literally, that's it. It's just... And again, I don't know the whole Cassandra Fairbanks thing, but it's just, like, that's how you ask... That's how you ask deposition questions, right? Like, there's an allegation that you... secretly arranged for Newsmax to say bad stuff about Jerome Corsi. So, did you do that? No. Did you ask anybody to do that?
No.
Did you have anybody as an intermediary ask somebody to do that? Okay. Well, then we're done here.
All right. See you later. I'm like,
that's how you depose a witness. And again, I just want to point out, like, if you're the Newsmax lawyer here, like, you've gotten what you need to out of a deposition, right? You have clear, definitive answers from the witness that locks down his testimony. And now you know what they're going to be able to say at trial and what they're not going to be able to say at trial. And because you also know that Roger Stone is a fucking crazy person, right? Like, you have no idea, right? Like, he hates Larry Klayman right now, but like, he ran his Senate campaign 15 years ago. Like, who knows if this goes to trial or if there's a motion for summary judgment? Like, who knows what he's going to say then? So all you want to do is, like, while he hates Larry Klayman, you just want to be like, okay, look, I just want to pin you down. I just want to make sure I get a yes or no answer on all of these things. And so if you come around later and say, oh, well, I actually meant yes, I can do the, like, were you lying then or are you lying now? Like, that's it.
Mr. Simpson, I'm confused.
I'm confused. Yeah. So there you go.
There you have it.
We watched Larry Klayman try and conduct a deposition, and I am out of analogies of, like, inept person trying to do a thing they couldn't possibly do. Like, I have tried, but it has taken 100% of my brain power.
It's like when Phoebe's telling Arlo about something, like, just her, you get a real window into how she views the world, you know, because she's starting to act like she's a parent to Arlo. And she's like, no, Arlo, you can't do it. And it's like, it's hilarious. It's like that, except evil, kind of.
Yeah, that's great. I guess it's going to be like another year-ish, but occasionally this happens where you'll have, like, you know, a kid that's 4 and then another kid that's 2, and like, they'll sort of develop this internal language talking to each other that's just delightful to watch. When Alex was, he's 2 years older than his cousin. And when Alex was 4, like, he would talk to little Sean, and like, little Sean would like, and Alex would then,
I,
like,
little Sean's not a rapper. Is that just,
yeah,
another,
yeah,
kid?
Little Sean. Yeah. and then his cousin would like babble something, and all of us would look around befuddled, and Alex would like translate it into English and be like, oh yeah, no, what he's asking is like, can I have some more chicken nuggets? And you're like, there was, how did you, yeah. So,
well, I've noticed that I think because, yeah, I mentioned I was born with yeah, maybe half my hearing in my left ear at best. And I feel like I have, I guess, more experience trying to decode stuff that people saying, you know, that I don't fully hear or understand. Because I've noticed that I kind of always know what Phoebe's saying, even if Lydia doesn't quite hear it right. And I'm like, I don't know why that is, but I think maybe I'm just used to trying to decode stuff that I can't quite hear more or something. But yeah, because you learn your kid's language to a certain extent. It's really fun. But anyway, to bring it all back around, no one can learn the language of Larry Klayman's deposition style. That's a language that no one speaks.
We'll link the bit that we watched in the show notes. I suggest watching it at 1.25 speed, because
at least,
because the amount of time, you know, we have to apologize for one of the clips, like the amount of time it takes Larry Klayman to like flip through his papers is it's also rather impressive.
Again, this is day two. This is he went home and was it's like the scene in any courtroom drama. Wow, guy, you know, the lawyer's just up all night and the wife's like, what's the matter? He's like, oh, I got closing arguments tomorrow. And if I can't get the jury to understand and blah, 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 then I'm good. It's like that, except then Larry Klayman came back and had absolutely fucking nothing, like no plan.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much that's it. Exactly right. And the like we played the money clip already, which was could you ask a question a lawyer would ask? Because there isn't one, right? Like it's just
because this lawsuit is nonsense. So there's not really anything you can even do, right? I mean, you could at least do what the guy at the end did and be like, "Hey, did you tell this guy that? Yeah, no. Did you tell them that? No. Okay.
All right. All right. Peace. We're out of here." throughout this, I had to remind myself that like this is a defamation lawsuit. Right. There was not at no point. And so I just want you to cogitate on that for a minute. At no point in this defamation lawsuit did Larry Klayman ask Roger Stone about things that he said other than things that he said in a private email to Joel Gilbert that Klayman didn't find out about until after he filed the lawsuit. And which of course are totally non-defamatory.
This man needs
in any
to be
way.
Disbarred. I mean, can we talk about tightening up these bar rules a little bit? Because like this, he's not a lawyer. He can't be a lawyer. This is not.
It's real. It's right. Nonsense. So
well, we love you, patrons. We watch this so you don't
this
have
is
to. Unless
how
you
much
want
we
to.
Love you. Yeah.
Just be aware that it's disturbing. These images might be disturbing if you watch them. But that's Roger Stone. So. If you'd have to say who would win in a deposition war, Roger Stone or Alex Jones, I'm curious what you think.
Alex Jones is much better.
That's
better
what I would
this.
Say, too.
Alex Jones, and here's the thing. It is Alex Jones, you know, has recanted the, like, this is a character I play on the air. And, you know, we talked to his ex-wife, and she was like, well, no, you know, there's some character, but he's also a conspiracy, right? Like he believes some of his own shit. Alex Jones is 100 times smarter than Roger Stone.
Yeah.
And also is not on meth when he gets deposed.
Well, yeah, at least when he gets deposed, he seems to be to sober up for the deposition.
He is wearing that, like, you know, he's squeezed his 4XL body into that XL t-shirt.
I also would say this. He was going against, I think you also would say, not the best lawyer, but at least, you know, in the Street Fighter 2 hierarchy of lawyer fights, Klayman is, you know, number one. Klayman, or may I mix my video games? He's Glass Joe or whatever in the, Punch Out.
Good old
Mike
Glass
Tyson's
Joe,
Punch Out. Oh, Klayman is Glass Joe. He's got doesn't even have anything. Whereas the lawyer that Alex Jones went against was somewhere in the middle, like Bald Bull territory.
Bald Bull, right? Like the one because that's
Piston Honda.
Yeah.
And other
no.
Tropes.
Yeah, no. Piston Honda, or I think it was Piston Hurricane in the later NES. But
yeah, Piston Honda comes back. Well, I'm an expert on Mike Tyson's original NES Punch Out. Yeah, so I don't know Piston Hurricane, but did they try to make it a little less racist?
Yeah,
it was the first one was quite racist.
Yeah,
it was just different stereotypes that you fought.
But yeah, no, Bald Bull was because. Before there was an NES, right, there was Punch Out in the arcade. And I played the shit out of it when I was like 10.
Yeah.
And you can beat Glass Joe, like being a 10-year-old and just occasionally pushing buttons. the next guy after Glass Joe, I forget who it was.
Don Flamenco.
Okay.
He's one of them.
You had to mash the buttons really hard really quickly. And Bald Bull was the first one where you had to dodge
to
the left or right. Yeah,
because
you have
he charges at you and he does his little do-do-do-do-do. Oh, man, I love
But he
game.
Totally telegraphs it, right? And
oh,
so as a kid, like the first $10 of playing, you're like, I don't understand. Like the first two guys, I just like mash buttons and it wins. And then
the point of all this
whacks you in the chin.
Yeah. Is that Alex Jones defeated a Bald Bull.
Yes, versus, that is exactly right.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think Alex Jones is smarter and would be better at a deposition.
And also, but, Alex Jones, like, it did not in any way, like, Roger Stone's lawyers were unable to keep him from giving preposterously bad answers, even when he didn't have to. Yeah. And Alex Jones's lawyers absolutely kept him on a leash. And, you know, I don't know if that's, I don't know if that took heroic effort by the lawyers. It might have. But I don't think even if you, I don't think the best lawyers on earth could keep Roger Stone on a leash. So, so there you go.
All right. Well, there you have it. Lot Awful Movies 38 is in the books. Thank you, patrons. We hope you enjoyed it. Kind of, I don't know. Do you enjoy these kind of, yeah. We hope you enjoyed it. And yeah. We'll see you. Stay safe out there. Stay home. Do what I do in my everyday life normally. Just stay home.
Don't breathe on anybody. Don't breathe, right?
That's no breathing.
Yeah.
All right. See you folks next time.
Bye.